Amen. John chapter 2, John chapter 21, verses starting with verse 4. John, chapter 21, verse 4. Say amen if you're there. Amen. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that, of course, would be John, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, about 300 feet, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which you have not now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. Amen. Better than Daryl and Troy. And for all there were so many, yet as was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, everybody said after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? Speaking of the fish. He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, everybody said the third time. Third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? Now remember, this was after the resurrection. This was after he had denied the Lord three times. And now the Lord is asking him three times, Do you really love me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's three things that the Lord did there. He asked him three different times, Do you love me? Amen. And I want to, I have actually preached this before, but I felt to preach this here tonight because I feel like that's what we need at this particular point on the journey. Amen. And I want to preach about the three measures of love. Amen. The three measures of love. If we're going to be saved, we're going to have to be measured. Praise God. Is anybody ready to be measured? Measurements tell us the exact where we are exactly. Amen. No guessing, no feelings, no nothing. It's a measurement. and it tells us where we really are. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for truth. We ask you to anoint the Word of God and to speak to every heart that's here. In Jesus' name we ask it, and everybody said, Amen. 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 You may be seated tonight. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We find another parable here, or a parable rather, in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. And it says, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Amen. There's something here. I talked about this morning a little bit, about the three things that are in the world and three things that God loves. And here again we have three different times that the Lord is doing something here. And what we can see and understand, of course, in our modern world, in any society for that matter, is that nothing is of true value until it has been measured. Amen. And measurement is the primary estimation of value. If you have a bar of gold, it should say 99.99% pure gold, and that's a measurement. We measure things every day. We measure oil by the barrel. We measure gasoline by the gallon. We pay for it because of a measurement of value. And we sell wheat by the bushel. We buy milk by the gallon. We buy water by the gallon. Steel is measured by the poundage. And all of these measurements that we have around us, we accept them as common, as something that is just and that is right, and leads us to the value of the item, whatever it is. A gallon of milk, what is it worth? What is a length of steel or some other commodity, aluminum or whatever you want to talk about here tonight? It's very important that we understand that in Scripture, measurements were needed to be very accurate, for an inaccurate measurement spells fraud. It spells theft. Amen. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says that a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Amen. God delights in measuring things to find out where they really are. We don't want to have an unjust measurement so that when we go to the grocery store and we buy a piece of fruit by the pound and the scales are rigged and it weighs twice as much as it really does, you've in effect been stolen from, and it is not just. Amen. And God says, I hate a false balance, and true honesty can be found in true measurements. Amen. Our modern scales are tested regularly by law for accuracy, and there are companies that just center around the measurement of weights and different kinds of measurements. Amen. Because the just value of something needs to be fairly measured. Amen. And how can we escape tonight the fact that God measures us as well to see what kind of value we possess? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And his scale is righteousness. And the measurement that God uses is love. It's not a gallon. It's not a weight, it is not a bushel or anything like that, but it is the measurement of our love for him. Amen. He wants to know what is the measure of our love. He wants to know how far we will go, how much we really love him, not how much we say we love him or how much we try to make it look like we love him. He wants to know, do you love me? Amen. And I think that's fair, don't you? Some love is shallow, some love is deep. Amen. And it can only be measured and only be given a value when it is measured by an accurate scale. Well, I believe tonight that the Lord is accurate in his measurements. And the story that we read tonight, very famous story of the draught of the fishes. Amen. This gets any fisherman excited when you talk about that. And here Jesus is coming along the shoreline. He calls to his disciples and he asks them, "Do you have any meat?" Amen. No was the answer. And sometimes that's the way it is in life, isn't it? You cast your net out time after time after time. You pull it back in, and there's nothing in there but seaweed. Amen. And he told them to cast on the right side of the boat. They did. All the fishes came in. And as he was wont to do, he called them close. There was something about the Lord. He loved to sit and eat with people. He loved to go to the wedding feast. He loved to go to the publican's house and sit down and sit across the table and talk to them. Here was God manifest in the flesh. He was not setting himself up as some far distant king that you could only approach through an ambassador or something along those lines. But no, he wanted to come into your house. He wanted to come into my house, sit down at the table, and just talk about things. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I believe that he wanted to feel the heartbeat of mankind and that he wanted to get really close to mankind because God created us and he loves us. I really don't think that I know that I really don't comprehend the fullness of the love of God and how much God really cares about my life. I don't think any of us really do. I want to get to where the Apostle Paul was, where he could say that I know him, that I may know him. Sometimes we get the idea that we have seniority in this. I don't even go there. Amen. I just want to know him. Amen. I just want to sit down at the table and hear him ask me some questions and to be able to respond to those questions. Amen. And kind of like when you sit down with your family, if you do, and you eat dinner, you talk about things, don't you? You talk about things that are on your mind. You talk about what's going on in the world. Talk about so many, many different things. Amen. And so the Lord sitting down with them on the shore, wasn't at a table. My, our God is an awesome God tonight. Finds a little place on the sand and builds a fire. Gets some fish and some bread. He's already got it ready to go. Maybe he had a bucket full of peanut oil and he had it hot enough and he dropped the fish in there after filleting it out and maybe put some sort of coating on it, dropped it down into the grease, and here we have fish and chips. Amen. And come on and get something to eat. They were hungry. They were fishermen. They were men. They knew how to eat. And they were good at it. And just sat down on the sand. Amen. Just sat down on the ground. Just an outdoor picnic with God Almighty. Well, praise the Lord. You don't get any more personal than that. You don't get any closer than that. Amen. You don't get to any other place. You don't get there in a formal place of worship. You don't get there just by going through a Bible study. And all of those things are very, very important. But I'm telling you, you get to that place when you just sit down with him. And everything else is put out of your mind. Everything else is put out of your spirit. No noise, as Brother Wheeler preached one time. No noise, and we can just hear the voice of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Is that a foreign thing to you? I hope it's not. because the Lord wants to speak to our hearts, and He wants to be a very close friend to us. Amen. Three times the Lord asked the Apostle Peter if he loved him more than he loved fishing, more than he loved anything else. Amen. The excitement of starting with the Lord was not the ending of his relationship with Jesus, but it was the beginning. Amen. And listen tonight, the beginning of any relationship cannot have a real definition or measurement, definite measurement of love until it has had time to be measured. Amen. Until it is set upon the scale, until it is actually weighed in real time. Amen. I believe that there were three reasons that Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And I think it was a very awkward moment for Peter. This was the third time that he had revealed himself to his disciples. And it was almost as if the Lord was still checking him out. "I know you denied me three times, but Peter, I want to know, do you love me?" Amen. He could have asked him that the first time he was revealed or the second time he was revealed. But now it's the third time that it was revealed, or he was revealed to them, and he wanted to know, "Do you love me?" And the scripture that we read tonight doesn't give us the full story, but in another one of the Gospels, the Bible says Jesus asked him the third time, and Peter got upset. He got worried. He got nervous. He got upset. "Why are you asking me the third time? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And there was a test that took place. The first two times that Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" He used the word agapeo, and that is a word for love, and it means social love. Amen. "Peter, are you excited about being with the group here?" Amen. That's the first measurement. Are you excited about being called one of my disciples? Are you excited about the church? Oh, many, many times we see people come and they meet Jesus for the first time. And they get excited. Everybody is wonderful. Everything is great. Everything is grand. Amen. But you can't measure a relationship just because it's good times. Amen. You can't measure something just because it's exciting at the very first. Of the four different types of soil, there were two of them that received the word with excitement. But because of the time of measurement, when the measurement time came, they were not measured very well. Amen. The third time that Jesus said, "Do you love me?" He used the word phileo. It's a different type of love, and it means to have affection and attachment to. Praise God. You cannot measure a relationship by the beginning, but you measure a relationship by the ending. Praise God. That's why the Bible says that the day of death is better than the day of birth, because at birth there is no way to measure the life. There is no way to measure the individual's value or qualities, amen, until they grow, until they begin to stretch their wings, as it were, until tests come, until trials come, until life comes. We really don't know. We don't really have a comprehension of what is down on the inside, amen. This is not a put down. This is just reality, amen. It really is. You're not going to get an outstanding job without a resume and some experience. Because they know that over the course of time, you have been measured. And if everywhere you go, you have a good report, chances are you're going to have a good report if they hire you at this place. But if it is job after job after job, and there was nothing but turmoil and problems and situations, then there is a measurement that people place upon you. Amen. And of course, everybody's innocent. It wasn't my fault. And surely that is a part of it. Amen. But we measure things, don't we? And God measures things. God measures us. Amen. He measures us. He wants to know, do you love me? And don't you think that's reasonable for God to want to know that? I think it's very reasonable. Amen. And so we have three measurements here. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. Let's look at it here tonight. And hopefully before we're finished, we'll get going here. Praise the Lord. If we don't get going, we're not going to get very far. Praise the Lord. I want to get further than the end of the driveway tonight, folks. Praise God. I want to get somewhere. Revelation 17 and verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. There's three things right there. I think that God's number three is probably for measurement of some sort, because in the Bible there is other instances of this. But I believe that called, chosen, and faithful are the three measures of love. Amen. That God allows us to be measured by to see where we are in each of these three different times of life. Amen. Of all the Bible stories of the men of God, of men that walked with God, there are a number of them. But the one that I love the most is Abraham. Amen. Abraham. Anybody remember Abraham? Not Abraham Lincoln. Amen. Abraham in the Bible. That was just his name, Abraham. And the Lord brought him through some testing here. Genesis 18 and verse 6, Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And this is the very first mention of three in the Bible. Amen. Where it is three measures. Amen. I don't think God just put things in there happen chance, but I think there's something to this three measures here. And we can see the first measure of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. And it says, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so verse 4 says, and so Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. Amen. That is the response of love to the call. Amen. But interjected with the call is all of the exciting parts as well. Amen. The Lord doesn't call us usually and say, come and follow me. You're going to have troubles and trials and tests. And situations are going to rise up. You're going to be depressed at times. You're going to find yourself in the valley of the shadow of death. But I want you to come and follow me. God doesn't usually do that. He usually speaks to us, and we hear the word of God. If you'll give your life to God, he'll take you out of your depression. If you give your life to God, there's healing. There's all sorts of great things in the kingdom of God. There is truth about the name of God and how many gods there are. And there's only one God tonight. Praise the Lord. It's almost like when you start a job and they tell you all the benefits. And they tell you all the good things that are going to happen when you get this job. Amen. What you can do with this and how far you can go with this. And it's exciting. The first day that you show up, it's exciting. Some of you don't look very excited here tonight. Oh, I got this new position. Amen. I was appointed as assistant manager. You know what that means sometimes? Is there any assistant managers here tonight? Oh, right. I'm not going to use that as an example. Amen. But sometimes flowery titles are given to us to make us feel good in this world. God doesn't do that to us. Amen. He doesn't, in some places you come into the church and the first thing you are given is a little badge that says pastor. Amen. And I've seen that where everybody's a pastor because they want to make everybody feel good, want to make everybody feel relevant and want them to feel like, this is a great place. Well, we don't do that around here. Amen. And we try to follow the Bible mandates about some things. But the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country. You need to leave everything behind and come and follow me. You know, sometimes leaving is exciting. I remember when we left to go to Boston, Massachusetts in 1977, in August of 77. And I'll tell you what, it was exciting. There was another world out there. There was another place to go with excitement and all kinds of experiences. And who knows what's in this strange land, far, far away from home. Amen. My brother-in-law, who was kind of blunt he was kind of critical of just about everything in life. He said, oh, what do they do out there? Do they paint the concrete green to make you feel like there's grass out there? And had those criticisms. I said, oh, no, it's not like that. It's really wonderful. There's all sorts of exciting things to do. But what I didn't realize was that when we moved there, the culture shock. I didn't really plan on some things. Amen. Didn't plan on all of a sudden getting migraine headaches. Amen. To the point that at one point I got a migraine headache and half of my vision was gone. And I went to the doctor and he said, you're having a migraine headache. I said, I don't even have a headache. He said, that's a migraine headache. And it took me a solid year. I didn't realize that. I'm not sure if I would have left if I'd have known that ahead of time. And honestly, some of us, if we would have known everything that was going to be involved in working for God and living for God and the trials and the dangers, the toils, the snares, all of the things that are included in living for God, I wonder if some of us would have even walked down the aisle. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And Abram left. It's exciting to leave some things behind and to move forward. And he moved forward into an unknown future. He passed the test of love. He wanted to be socially accepted by the Lord. He wanted to be in the social group, as it were. He wanted to follow God. He had an agapeo love for God. But you see, the call of God is not the end. Amen. The call of God is not the end result of a few exciting services, a few exciting prayer meetings, amen, a few times of seeing miracles, and then the years go by, the days go by, the months go by, and before you know it, things begin to get a little bit routine. Well, praise the Lord. Just hang with me here tonight. Amen. Because another test of love was coming. Amen. Another test of love. You're going to be tested. Praise God. You're going to be tested. Genesis 22 and verse 1, 2, and 3. All right. Brother Reed, when you get there, help me here tonight.
Rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and
All right, praise the Lord. Now things are getting a little bit more serious here. Well, praise God. A little more serious. That's a little more serious than giving tithes and offerings. Amen. A little more serious than being faithful to the house of God. Come on, somebody, help me tonight. A little more serious than praying every day, committing to pray every day. A little more serious than fasting. Amen. And many don't even get to that point or to those points in their walk with God because of the measurement of the scales. Amen. And things come along, don't they? Things come along and you see what it really like to live for God and to go through a trial. The Apostle Peter called it a fiery trial. Amen. Be not concerned when you go through a fiery trial, not a flat tire. Amen. Not being able to pay your bill at one point. Amen. But a fiery trial where you can feel the heat and it leaves blisters on you. Amen. I burned some stuff the other day and got a little too close to the fire. And I didn't catch on fire. Praise the Lord for that. But I was putting on one of my tennis shoes. I said, I think I got a little close to the fire because the bottom of my tennis shoe is all melted up. Amen. You think that's a little close to the fire? It was a little bit close. Amen. And it was burning really good. And I was tending to that fire. And you live for God, you're going to get a little bit of melted rubber on the bottom of your shoes. Praise God. You live for God, you're going to go through some things that you just don't know how it's all going to end up, and it looks as if it was over. Amen. Praise God. And it really looks like it's over, and you just examine it from this side and that side and this side and that side, and you say, there's no way. There's no way. Amen. But then it is time for the second measurement. Amen. It is the time for us, for the Lord to say, in this point in your life, are you willing to give me everything again? Amen. Are you willing to lay it all down again? You've been blessed a little bit. You have a son now, and you love him, but it's a far cry away from the promise. Amen. Far cry away from a multitude as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the seashore. Well, we've got a little bit of a grab hold here. Amen. Got a little bit of something that we can say God has done in our lives. And it's usually at this point in time that others come around and say, oh, would you like to see my grandchildren? Amen. I always rejoice with people's grandchildren. And I'm rejoicing tonight in my new grandson. Amen. And I've got some new pictures. If you'd like to see them after church, I've got some new pictures. And I understand they're coming sometime in November and want to do a baby dedication here. Amen. And I just fall in love with that little guy already. And I understand how all of you grandparents are. But I go to places and, I don't have access to all of my grandchildren. And some of you that have access to your grandchildren, you're very, very blessed. Amen. And sometimes you may not feel that way, but you're very, very blessed. Amen. And some of you that don't have grandchildren, when that first one comes along, you're going to say, why didn't we do this first? Amen. Because they're better than kids. Right. Praise God. They're better than your own kids. And Anyway, I'm getting off the subject here tonight. And I've got a foothold. I've got a son. And at least it's a son. Amen. And we can have a posterity here. And we can go from here. And I'll tell you, Isaac was a jewel in the eye of Abraham. He was really the only hope. He was really the only thing that he had that he could look at other than his material blessings, which I don't think they were very important to Abraham. But it was the only thing that he had in his hand. Amen. Sometimes you go to meetings and you hear preachers preach and they pastor large churches and you get the impression that every service there's a healing. Every time they get together, some fantastic move of God takes place. And then you come home and you've got an Isaac. Amen. That's not a personal reference here tonight. But you've only got one. Amen. And how's it going? Well, we had someone pray through the other day, and they kind of pat you on the head. Well, that's really great. That's really great. And my pastor was always kind of joking and kidding, and he asked me one time when we were pastoring in another church, we'd had a number of folks receive the Holy Ghost, four or five, and he said, how's everything going at the church? I said, well, we had four or five receive the Holy Ghost. He said, well, my, that's pretty, that's impressive, he said. I didn't know that you were even praying anybody through anymore. And he was just joking with me, you know. And I thought, well, thanks for the pat on the back. Amen. Thanks for the good job. Well done. Amen. And you just couldn't put anything over on him. Amen. But if you asked him how it's going, an hour later, he'd still be talking about how great things are. You ever been around anybody like that? It's fantastic, expecting it to get better. Amen. And it's yes, 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 we can. Yes, we can. And everything's high and all of that. Well, I'll tell you what, sometimes you're going to feel like you just got one thing in your hand. Amen. That after all these years of serving God, I've got this one thing in my hand. Amen. And now God is asking me to give that one thing to Him. Amen. It doesn't make any sense at the moment, but it is. The fact is that you are now being placed upon the scales again. Amen. You're being put on the measurement tool, and they're going to measure again to see what is the height and the breadth and the depth, and to weigh it to see if it's got any weight or what kind of value it has. Amen. And you're going to come to that place in your walk with God. You're going to come to that place as an individual. We're going to come to that place as a church body. Amen. Amen. I really don't believe tonight that what we have here is everything we're ever going to have. I don't. I really don't. I believe that God has miracles in our future. I believe God has revival in our future. Amen. But I'm not measuring my love for God based upon those things. Amen. I'm not measuring my commitment to God based upon how well everything is going, how well I feel, what's happening in my life, what's happening on my job, what's happening in the church. Amen. I'm just going to listen to God. And again, he asked him in a sense of the word, as he asked Peter the second time, do you love me? That was again agapeo, which is social love. Amen. Are you still going to stay with the group, Peter? Are you still going to stay with the group? Are you going to look for greener pastures somewhere else? Are you going to bypass the measurement of God and go somewhere where you're measured by man? Amen. Are you going to stay under the weight of the scales, so to speak, and let the digital readout give you the true measurement of where you are? Amen. So Abraham was tested twice, and the Bible says, now I know that you fear God. This was about 50 years into his living for God. Anybody been living for the Lord 50 years? All right. Well, praise God. I don't know what the timeline is, 74, 84, 94, 2004, 2014. Well, I've been living for the Lord now for 44 years. I'm not quite there where Abraham is. Thank the Lord. Amen. Well, praise God. The third test of the measurement is going to come. Amen. And in Genesis 24 and verse 1. And you're going to find yourself here at some point in time. And if I could just haul off and preach, I wished I could tonight, but I'm just not able to do that. I want to help somebody here tonight. Amen. I want to help us as a church. Genesis 24, verse 1 through 4. Brother Reed, read that for me tonight. Well, somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He was well stricken in age. Now, when you get older, they say things change. But I'm not really sure that things ought to change when it comes to living for God. Amen. And when it comes to the truth of the Word of God. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. He had a better job. He had a nicer car. Had a better place to live. Amen. Nicer tent material. Praise God. More sheep, more cattle, more this, more that, more the other. He was blessed in all things, and now he's up in age. His son is now coming of age or is of age. And the third test of love is not placing your son upon the sacrifice, upon the altar, but now it is maintaining the commitment that you had in the beginning, amen, and making it stick with your children as well. Praise God. Because it is very possible that when we get to the age, to the elder age, and we love our children. I know you love your children. You would do anything for your children. But I'm telling you tonight that I will not sacrifice my walk with God for my children. Praise the Lord. There comes a time when that ultimate love, amen, when that ultimate love says we're going to have to do it God's way, and God said don't marry anybody from this country, amen, don't go into this country where we dwell. They don't serve our God. They don't believe in our God, amen, and I want you to go and take a daughter from another country. Sometimes I wish we still had that system today. Praise God. But we don't. Amen. We allow them to pick their own way and their own mate that they're going to marry. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, you're going to face a trial of whether or not to stand up for the truth of God's word or to back your child. Amen. Mom and dad, we got to stand for truth. Amen. Elderly, we've got to stand for truth. You say, well, you know, I've been in the church a long time. I've got a right to miss every now and then because of this, that, or the other. Hey, let me tell you something. You're never going to get too old to make commitments to God. And when you were younger, you made commitments to God. Amen. But then as you get older and more tired and worn out and all of those things come upon you that come upon the elderly, I'm telling you, it's not time to throw in the towel. It's not time to change what you believe. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Amen. We've got to stand for truth no matter what. Amen. We got to stand for truth no matter which way our grandchildren go. Well, praise God. Amen. Because there are three measurements of love that we're going to have to experience. Now, it's a little bit different here tonight, but that's all right. Galatians 3 and verse 9, it says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Amen. The Bible tells us there, and I read it. Why don't you stand tonight? Sister Reed, would you come? And it says, these shall make war with the Lamb. Amen. You're gonna find yourself in a war. You're going to find yourself in a battle. You're going to find yourself being measured. Amen. That's what battle does. Battle measures us. battle measures us. The Bible says if you fall in the time of adversity, your strength is small. It's a measurement. And when the enemy comes and he begins to fight, it is a form of measurement. Praise God. The ones who are stronger will beat those who are weaker, generally speaking. The ones who are wiser are going to defeat those who are not as wise. It's a measurement. It's a measurement. Amen. And God is measuring us. New Life Tabernacle, God's measuring us. And He wants to know, are we just as excited today as we were 25 years ago? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I remember such faith and dreams. Amen. God's going to fill this place. Dreams. Amen. Of a bigger building and people worshiping God. And I'll tell you, I believe that's the will of God, because it's not His will that any should perish. And so it's His will. I go places around here and I look at these people and I say, I don't even know these people. They're on their way into eternity. And it's not the will of God that this person dies without God. It's not the will of God that this person dies without the Lord. It's not the will of God that this person... I want to take every opportunity that I can to help somebody. We made up some new flyers. Invitation to worship, and they're on the back table back there. Take them freely and hand them out. We'll print up more. Amen. We're going to start a campaign every month. We're going to be sending out things in the mail to let folks know that we're here, with a little situation on there that they can come to our website and check us out. Amen. I want to do whatever I can. I was here just the other day in the morning. I think it was Saturday morning. We were going to try to do some painting. And Hunter had a worker with him there, someone that's related. He began to talk to me, and he just opened a little bitty crack in the door. That's all I need, is just a little crack in the door. And I started talking to him, and he started opening up and talking to me. And before it was over with, I'd given him a Bible study to take home and read. Amen. I said, man, I'll be here to help you if you need help. And he was expressing some difficulties that he's having in his life, so on and so forth. Amen. I could see him on our pew talking in tongues and worshiping God. Well, praise the Lord. I can see many, many families. Amen. All I don't know how many is here tonight, but if we had that many more, this place would be full. Or very close to full. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm not looking at the situation. I'm looking at the measurement of love. I want to stay the same. Amen. I want to stay the same. I don't want to change. Amen. I don't want to become somebody that I wasn't. I don't want to get to the place, amen, where all of a sudden situations arise and now I'm rethinking my position with God. I'm rethinking my prayer commitment. I'm rethinking my commitment to fasting. I want to rethink my commitment to being faithful to the house of God. Listen, you're being measured. You're being measured. Amen. Let's let God say, oh, that's a good measurement right there. I can use that one. That one's got value right there. Praise God. Let's pray together right now. Jesus, we need You tonight more than